May the Lord's peace be with us all.
And his love shine in our hearts.
Our hope is in the coming of the Lord.
Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. The first candle we light on the Advent wreath is a name, the prophecy candle, for it represents the period of waiting that preceded the birth of Christ. Its light announces the waiting period that anticipates Christmas, and honors those who first spoke the promise of the Christ child. Their words sparked hope in the hearts of the faithful for many generations. Let us pray that our faith may be strengthened for the coming of the Lord. Father in heaven, our hearts desire the warmth of your love, and our minds are searching for the light of your word. Increase our longing for Christ our Savior, and give us the strength to grow in our faith, so that the day of his coming may find us prepared and filled with joy. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The seed of David, promised Christ, take root in our hearts and yield us strong hope.
Welcome to worship at Advent. I've only missed two cues so far, so we're doing well. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Now in this time of this mortal life in which your Son Jesus Christ came to visit us in great humility, that in the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty, to judge both the living and the dead, that we may rise to life immortal, through him who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, revealed in Jesus Christ, keeps his promise. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the gracious promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord our righteousness. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will join together in the reading of the Psalm 25, verses 1 through 9, found on page 3 in your bulletin. We will read in unison. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. My God, I put my trust in you. Let me not be humiliated, nor let my enemies triumph over me. Let none who look to you be put to shame. Let the treacherous be disappointed in their schemes. Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. In you have I trusted all the day long. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and love, for they are from everlasting. Remember not the sins of my youth and my transgressions. Remember me according to your love and for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Gracious and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he teaches sinners in his way. He guides the humble in doing right and teaches his way to the lowly. All the paths of the Lord are love and faithfulness to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. There is power in prayer, there is power in sharing our prayers for one another, to encourage and strengthen each other in faith. A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Thessalonians. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all our joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Gospel of the Lord according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
You know, I'm thinking we should keep the choir. I think they're doing a good job. I'm reading from Luke chapter 21. In this season of Advent, we look at what's to come short term, but also anticipating what's to come long term. And it's one of the few times in the year when it's good to say, hey, lighten up. Thank you. Luke 21, starting at verse 25. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Think about what happened in Alaska this week. Then verse 27. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. He told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. for it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be careful. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Seated. Today and next week, I want to speak to you about one of the important gifts that Jesus gives us, and it works just perfectly at Christmas time. It's a gift of hope, the anticipation of not just of what's coming short term, but also about what the Lord has prepared for us in eternity. And that anticipation and hope is a part of the Christmas season. I was thinking in between the services about an early time in Tammy's and my life when our kids were little, and Tammy had found this tremendous going out of business sale on toys. And she literally, it was in about September, she literally bought everything that was needed for Christmas for that year. And she found a nice, secure place to store away the toys. They were not yet wrapped, but she would do that later. And so we were sitting down one day for dinner. Dinner was always the central point of our life when we'd sit together and talk. This was long before cell phones, when you could actually talk face to face. And we were just asking the kids, what would you guys love for Christmas? And astonishingly, our kids mentioned everything that was in that hidden storage container that Tammy had tremendously filled. And we were not born under a turnip patch. We understood that there had been some sneaking around. And the kids were kind of glib when they talked about what they would like. So Tammy and I talked about it after the kids went to bed. And she took everything back, bought a whole new set of gifts for Christmas, less stuff because the new stuff wasn't on sale. And then Christmas morning, the kids were looking at each other and giggling, and they opened their gifts and they were stunned. This isn't what we were expecting. And Tammy said, that's because we realized what you did, that you snuck into the secret place. Using that as a jumping off point, sometimes life doesn't unfold in the way that we expected. We have hope for our lives, for our future, and sometimes things unfold differently. And that's where I want to talk about hope. One of the classic Christmas songs is O Holy Night, where one line is, a thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. A thrill of hope. Do you still have hope in your life? Do you still have hope for what God is doing in your life and for the future? That's a special thing about hope. Just as total darkness can't hold back the light of just one little flame, hope in our hearts can overcome just about anything in our lives because we understand we have perspective that things are not simply as they appear. Hope through Jesus is available to us no matter what we see, no matter what we hear, no matter the circumstances in our life. Hope changes everything. Paul talks about it in chapter 5 of Romans. He said, We also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Perseverance brings about proven character. Proven character brings about hope. And hope does not disappoint. Hope does not disappoint. Have you ever heard people say, I don't want to get my hopes up? For those of us Browns fans, that's pretty common. But hope that doesn't disappoint is a part of what the Lord has secured for us, and it changes everything. Going back again to earlier in our marriage, even before, Tammy's parents had given her in high school a hope chest. Now, ultimately, all she got in the stinking hope chest was me, but she kept on hoping. But that was something that we had moved a little bit over 20 times in our life, and that hope chest always came with us. She used it for different things. It was actually one of the storage places for those Christmas gifts I told you about earlier. But it's still in our living room, and at this point in my life, I am repurposing her hope chest to use it for some different things. It needs some things done to it that I'll work on slowly, but it's still useful. And sometimes in our lives, we need to be repurposed. Things haven't worked out quite the way that we expected. I'm in a different set of circumstances, and so I need to ask, Lord, what is the reason and focus and purpose for my life now? And that's not a bad thing. It can just be a little bit uncomfortable at times. Hope that doesn't disappoint. And I believe that hope isn't actually something that we do. I believe it's something that's received like grace. In Romans 15, near the end of his book, it reads in verse 13, Paul says, "Now may the God of hope," think of that, Father God, the God of hope, "may he fill you with all joy and peace in believing so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." When we think about the Christmas story, we understand that God intervenes in our lives in an amazing way through a virgin birth. I could never have imagined that in my life. I have hoped for many things. I never could have hoped for that. That comes by revelation, by an impartation into our hearts about what God is doing in our lives. And so that's why the role of hope is such an important thing for believers. Having been here now for a bit over a year, I know that some of you will have an empty chair this Christmas. And that changes things. The presence, the laughter that you remember is gone. Christmas sometimes brings to the forefront that sense of disappointment and grief in our lives. And that's why I am saying that a part of hope is that we understand that God still has a plan and purpose for our lives. It's just that now we need to repurpose a bit. In high school, I completely believed that my future was to be the starting left fielder for the Cleveland Indians. Why are you laughing? But they never called. Now, the truth is I couldn't make the high school team, but I had to repurpose. I had to refocus my life. I'm not going in this direction. It's not a bad thing, but now it's time to look, like Tammy's hope chest, to redefine what its purpose is in life. And today, for a little bit, I want to take you into an Old Testament book that I believe you've probably never heard associated with a Christmas story, and it's the book of Ruth. I want to read to you the first, just the first part in chapter 1. It's so good. "In the days when the judges ruled, there was famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judea, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephraimites from Bethlehem in Judea, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. And after they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died. And Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. So just a tragic story. And the question is Naomi's life now over? Is this the end? I want you to keep in mind the idea of hope for the future as well as repurposing. Elimelech's name means "my God is king." But at that point, he didn't believe that God would provide. So he went with his wife to Moab because they had heard that there was food and provision there. Naomi's name means pleasant or sweet. And you will think this is crazy, but their two sons, their names in English literally mean sick and dying. There should have been some indication that things wouldn't work out well. And as the story unfolds, the boys grow up, they fall in love with two Moabite women, and within 10 years, they die. First, Elimelech, we don't know if he died from old age, a heart attack, or whether he was run over by a camel, but he was gone, and then the two sons died as well. And in an unbelievably short period of time, Naomi is left with nothing. Through her husband, she had hoped that they would be provided for, and now all of that was gone. And so together, the three of them were battling with some of the loneliness that we sometimes feel in our life when things change, when circumstances change. And Naomi decided that she should take what little she had, go back home to the Promised Land, because there was really no welfare system in Moab. And at first her daughters-in-law went with her, but about halfway there, she turned to them and said, "You girls don't need to have the baggage of a mother-in-law in your life. Go back to Moab, your home country, and find a new husband." And one of them, Orpah, did go back, but Ruth decided to go on with Naomi. And in Ruth chapter 1, verse 16, it says, "But Ruth said, 'Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God.'" A tremendous declaration of commitment and faith. Where you go, I will go. It's a verse you probably heard many times, maybe in weddings. You ever heard that in weddings? But if we took it in context, here's what it would really look like. The bride and groom are standing at the altar. They've committed themselves to each other. And then the bride turns and faces her mother-in-law and says, "Where you go, I will go." I don't think that tradition is going to catch on. But in context, that was an amazing affirmation of support and commitment by Ruth to Naomi. So as we look at this, Naomi is back home in her home country with Ruth from Moab, the Moabitess. And in chapter 1, verse 20, Naomi says, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me." At this point, Naomi does not see hope in her life. She doesn't see purpose in her life. Her purpose was with Elimelech and their children, and now that has been wiped out. So is there meaning in her life? So you might think that Naomi's story is a story about loss. She'd lost her husband, she'd lost her sons, she'd lost her home. But her story isn't finished. And next week we'll talk more about that wonderful story. But it's an important thing to grasp that even when the most difficult things in our lives happen, we need to remember that we live in a broken, fractured, flawed world. And the circumstances are never to define who we are. Our physical limitations are never to define who we are. There are times that we need to repurpose to prepare to be more effective witnesses for the Lord and to be able to live a fulfilling life. I read from a book this week by the name of, the book was called A Grace Disguised, and the author is George Setzler. And he talks about a car accident that he was in. He was in the car, but he was hit by a drunk driver and three generations of his family were killed. He lost his mother, his wife, and his young daughter. Similar kind of thing to Ruth, except this was through a tragic accident, and he wasn't hurt at all. But here's a quote from his book when he talks about what that meant for him. The experience of loss does not need to be the defining moment of our story. The defining moment can be our response to the loss. The story doesn't have to be about the loss. The story can be about responding to the loss. What that means for me is that we don't get to decide what happens in our life. We don't set up the circumstances in our life. Change comes into our life. We have to refocus. We have to ask the question, Lord, are you through with me? Naomi thought God was through with her, that it was over. But as you will see next week, that's not at all the case. We get to decide how my story will be defined. You and I get to decide how we are going to re-examine the direction and focus of our life. Not being driven by a circumstance, but being driven by our response to where we are in life. It changes everything. We tend to get focused on what's right in front of us. Back to the thinking about Christmas morning. One of our children opened a gift, and it was a sweater. And my little boy was expecting a toy. And sometimes our life is like that. We were expecting a toy, but all we got is a stinking sweater. So we need to come back and take a wider perspective. God, you have imparted by your Holy Spirit hope into my life. Hope for the present as well as for the future. And because of that hope, I understand that my life is not finished because I've been shifted to go in a different direction. It's not a bad thing. It's just change. And so our core conclusion for this week from Ruth is that our story doesn't have to be about our loss, like Naomi's loss, but rather about how we respond to the challenges. You'll see next week that Naomi's life was not at all over. It's just sometimes it's difficult to recalibrate where we are in life. At the end of Romans, I mentioned Romans 15:13. I want to bring that back to you. Now may the God of hope, and receive this as a blessing. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That hope would fill you up on the inside. In spite of what you see around you, you were expecting a toy, but it's a sweater. What are you going to do about it? So hope does not disappoint, Paul said in chapter 5. As we move toward Christmas Eve in this special season of Advent, no matter what's happening in your life, the Lord has prepared a future for you within time as well as for eternity. Sometimes it is difficult to grasp God's amazing design for our lives, his amazing purpose for our lives, which is beyond the moment into all eternity. So I encourage you as you reflect on your own life and what God has for you right now, to say yes to the Lord, to say yes to the God of hope, the God who has planned for us things that are so beyond the scope of our ability to understand that when it begins to unfold, we will almost be speechless because of that magnificent grandeur of what awaits for us. Let's continue our worship now as we confess together our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified to Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated.
Prayers of the people are found on page 6 of your bulletin. We will be using form 3. Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church, that we all may be one. Grant that every member of the Church may truly and humbly serve you, that your name may be glorified by all people. We pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons, especially Archbishop Welby, our presiding Bishop Curry, our own Bishops Hollingsworth and Love, and most especially for Pastor Paul, that they may be faithful ministers of your word and sacraments. We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world, that there may be peace and justice on earth. Give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake, that our works may find favor in your sight. Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble, especially those people found on our prayer list. Lillian, Mary Lou, Bob, Barb, Julie, Bill and Judy, Irv, Joan, Karen, Lois, Michael, Arthur, Marilyn, Velta, Rose, Dave, George, Cynthia, and for the Friends of Advent, Tony, the Eliza Jennings residents, Sylvia, Kayleen, and Jack, that they may be delivered from their distress. Give to the departed eternal rest. Let light perpetual shine upon them. We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy. May we also come to share in your heavenly kingdom. Let us pray for our own needs and those of others. Please join in our special prayer for Advent. Holy Spirit, you delight in offering to me and all whom you call the gifts of both knowing and serving the Father, for whose kingdom we pray to come, whose will to be done. Raise up from among your people a priest and pastor to minister the compassion and love of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, leading us to grow in members and holiness of life. For the transforming of my life, along with the life of my family, Advent Episcopal Church, and that of the whole world, through the same Christ our Lord, I pray. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgiving you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthening you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let's share that now with one another.
Amen. Yes.
Don't you feel okay?
Good. Yes, thank you.
Okay, because they said you.
I brushed the Chinese. Because I always have my first.
I'll get around.
It must be a chair. It's for a scrub.
Okay, good. Good. Glad.
Come over to your Peter. Not Peter. He's.
Peace to us. Bless you. Peace. You missed your cue.
You got my problem.
Peace.
Good morning. So we are 2 weeks away, less than 2 weeks away from the Dan Chuny concert. We have some of these posters, flyers out in back. You can pick one up as you leave the sanctuary. We also have some of these little postcards that are easy to put in your pocket. And then when you see Jim Edwards at the mall, you can give him one. Or you see Ray Busoni, you can give him one. So these are yours to take as well. This weekend, we have a 60-second spot being run on the fish. And if technology works here, let me play the 60-second spot.
Celebrate the joy of the season with renowned artist Dan Chuny, composer of many songs that we know and love. Not afraid. Here I am, Lord. And City of God. Dan is amongst the most influential composers of music for the liturgy today. Join Advent Episcopal Church as they welcome Dan and present God with us on Friday, December 14th at 7 p.m. For more information, go to adventwestlake.org. And to purchase tickets in advance for $10, contact Joanne at 440-871-6685. Come worship with us as we enjoy an evening of beautiful music, Advent reflection, and fellowship. Bring your family and friends Friday, December 14th. For more information, adventwestlake.org. Celebrate the season and God with us.
So that 60-second spot ran three times this Thursday, three times Friday, twice yesterday, twice today, and that will be repeated next weekend on 95.5 The Fish. You may have seen spots in Westlife, in Sun Times, starting this month. It'll be in the Westlake Bay Village Observer, the Elyria Chronicle, the Lorraine paper. So there's a lot of exposure for this concert. Please support it. If you have friends, family that might be interested, please take these, talk it up. We'd like to have a wonderful time of celebration during this Advent season here. Friday, December 14th, 7 p.m., call the church office to get tickets. We're selling tickets in advance. Actually, there are no tickets. We're selling reservations in advance, $10 per seat. And then as you arrive, we'll give you little wristbands to check your name off the list if you paid. So $10, December 14th, 7 p.m. Please come. There will be someone to pray with you back in the back of the church during communion. Peace be with you.
Also with you.
It's the first Sunday of the month, and that means we acknowledge and celebrate birthdays and anniversaries. If it's your birthday this month, would you come forward? Why don't you move over? Yeah, stretch across. And why don't we start with Dick, introduce yourself and the date you were born.
So I am Aaron Foster. My daughter. And I am Claire Foster, my granddaughter. Aaron's birthday is December 4th. Claire's birthday is December 21st.
The 30th. So your parents were really delighted because they got a tax deduction at the last minute. Let's extend your hands toward these folks. We give you thanks, O Lord, for the blessing of these people and those represented. We pray for this next year that you would guard and keep them in your path and lead them into a way that reflects more clearly your love for them and for all the people that they touch. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, guys. Yes. Now let's acknowledge anniversaries. Anyone in addition? All right. And I know this time you're standing in for yourself.
Yes.
So why don't you go ahead? Awesome.
Jennifer and I are celebrating on December 19th our 37th anniversary.
Awesome. Let's pray for them. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the gift of the people that you've brought together to become one flesh. And we pray that you would guard and keep that which you have brought together in your Holy Spirit in such a way that they would more clearly reflect the majesty of what it means to be one in Christ. And we give you thanks for that, O Lord, in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.
One couple got a kiss. That's pretty cool. Let's take a moment now and present our offerings to the Lord.
Precious body, bread.
Lord, we praise the face.
We continue with a great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
It is right to give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, because you sent your beloved Son to redeem us from sin and death and to make us heirs in him of everlasting life, that when he shall come again in power and great triumph to judge the world, we may, without shame or fear, rejoice to behold his appearing. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Melody Greensleeves?
Yes.
Could we do it once more? I love it. Thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in the last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, and out of death into life. And we remember that on the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took bread, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, after he'd given thanks, he took into his hands the cup. He lifted it up in front of them and said, "Take and drink from this cup. For this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death. We proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray, gracious Father, that you would send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, O Lord, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where, with all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
Now let us pray as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
As you come in faith, I invite you to receive the gift, not just of hope, but a complete provision for all our past and for all eternity in Jesus' name. Join together in the post-communion prayer. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the precious body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, guard and keep you until life everlasting. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Am
Depart in peace, shop till you drop, and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Collecting the music. I think I'm doing it.